Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap Podcast. I haven't come up with a slogan yet. But basically, Scrap Go Scrap is an abbreviation for size, cost, reach, and power. Lenny Ladner came up with that because basically he was running for Congress, still is technically, out of Tennessee. If you were in Tennessee, vote for Lenny. Anyway, basically his motto is that, for his campaign, what he plans on doing when he gets in office, he's going to look at the bills, he's going to read the bills, he's going to study the bills, and if the bills increase the size, the cost, and the reach of the power of government, then he's going to vote no for those reasons. And basically, we should be doing the same thing. Anytime we go to the voting booth, if there's a bill that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government, or if there's a politician, or... Oh, son of a biscuit. I'm on my way home from work. Anyway, it's rush hour. Okay, yeah, so if there's a governor, or a congressperson, or a sheriff, or a judge, or anybody for that matter, running for some kind of office, school board, ask yourself, does this person increase the size, the cost, extend the reach, and the power of government? And if they do, then don't vote for them. Vote for somebody else. If you feel like you have to vote for a lesser of two evils, then vote for the one that does not increase the size, the cost, extend the reach, and the power of government as much as the other one, but preferably not at all. In fact, we want somebody who actively decreases the size, the cost, extend the reach, or decreases the size, the cost, reach, and power of government. So, that's where we got our name. Scrap, Gov, Scrap. It's Lenny's idea. Lenny coined it. He's having a hard time getting his message out there, so I figured I'd make a podcast to promote that message. And then some. Basically, we're three percenters, freedom fighters, whatever you want to call us. The government calls us terrorists. But terrorists always call non-terrorists terrorists, you know. Terrorists always call their opposition terrorists. So if the government's calling somebody a terrorist, maybe you need to ask yourself why. What are they doing to oppose the actual terrorists? Or did the government put them in power to create a problem so that they can advocate a solution for the problem, so that they can put more power into their hands? I mean, look at ISIS. What's ISIS's main job? To destroy history. What do the powers that be want to do? They want to control us. They want to control our thinking. They want to control the history books. See, we learn from history. If we don't learn from history, we repeat it. People say that all the time. Well, what better to make the people repeat history, slavery, if you will, Hitler, you know, stuff in the Bible, slavery, our own history of slavery here in the United Soviet States of America. What better way to manipulate the people into repeating that process, if you erase the history of it, so that they don't understand how they got there in the first place. Then, you can trick them into getting there again. Just like the government has infiltrated our school system, and now they teach us things in school that aren't true, like the Civil War was not fought over slavery, it was a money war. Slavery was just a side effect. Had nothing to do with the war. Vietnam, I don't know what they say it was all about anymore, but it was about money. The Middle East, same thing. They claimed the terrorists in Al-Qaeda, who actually works for the CIA, attacked us. And maybe they did, but they worked for the CIA. So who's the CIA? The United Soviet States of America. So, who attacked America? America? Right. So, yeah. You create a problem so you can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more money and power into your hands. And into the hands of like-minded criminals that follow you in office. It's been going on for years. But a classic example is, ding darn diddly. Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap podcast.
What? Oh, my. Looks like you sent me pictures.
Oh, to Joe. Joe wanted me to explain the breakdown of the mathematics from 60 minutes to 100 clicks or whatever you want to call it. Whenever I said, podcast in 2.25 hours, he wanted me to explain that to his pastor, and I was like in a bad signal area. And
minutes to hundredths of an hour conversion.
Right. So instead of trying to explain it to somebody that I don't even know, I just, looked online, got the conversion chart, and sent him that so he can share it with his pastor.
Right. Well, you know, the post office does it by hundredths of an hour.
Right.
So, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. What do you know?
There you go. What do you know?
So, yeah, I don't really feel like I accomplished much today, but I got paid for some of it.
Cool.
That's not bad. At least I don't think it's too bad.
Not too shabby.
This not may not be too political, but the crocuses in the cardboard box on the land are starting to sprout. They got 6-inch leaves on them.
Cool.
Or the naked ladies, or whatever they are.
Naked ladies.
Basically, tell them 6 minutes.
6 minutes is 1/10 of 1 hour.
Yeah.
Well, I sent him the chart. He can figure it out.
36 seconds is 1/100 of an hour. So, from there, he should be able to figure it out himself.
Yeah, I sent him the chart. He should be able to figure it out from that. I'm doing something wrong. My chickens aren't dropping any feathers.
Yeah, that's not what this podcast is about.
Yeah, I know.
I barely have signal right now.
This podcast is about the size, the cost, the reach, and the power of a tyrannical government.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Terrible.
Oh, me, oh, my.
Okay, I'm putting my headphones in.
You what?
I'm putting my headphones in because when I listen to the podcast, it seems my voice has better voice quality when I use my headphones.
Oh, okay.
Someday we'll have to invest in professional gear. Probably about the time we get ourselves some advertisers and become professional.
There you go.
How many advertisers think we can attract with a listener list of half a dozen?
No.
Yeah. Oh my.
Oh, me, oh, my.
So, anything from Ron Paul?
I haven't got there yet.
Just curious.
Let's see what Ron has to say.
Yeah, I'm late, and I'm already diverting you to Ron Paul.
It's all good. I lost my train of thought.
You have a train of thought?
Yeah, but that's okay. I was on a caboose anyways.
Just watching it pass you by.
This month marks the 15th anniversary of the U.S. war on Iraq. The shock and awe attack was launched based on stovepipe intelligence fed from the CIA and Pentagon through an uncritical and compliant U.S. mainstream media. The U.S. media was a willing accomplice to this crime of aggression committed by the George W. Bush administration. Despite the lies we were constantly bombarded with, Iraq never presented a threat to the United States. Iraq never had the weapons of mass destruction that the neocons used to frighten Americans into supporting the war. How many of them knew all along that there were no WMDs? We'll never know. Attacking Iraq and overthrowing its leader was a long plan, the neocon playbook, and they used the 9/11 attack on the U.S. as an excuse to pull the plan off the shelf and put it into action. The U.S. regime change war on Iraq has directly resulted in the death of at least a 250,000 civilians, and indirectly perhaps 1 million Iraqis have been killed. The Iraq infrastructure was destroyed, and the country was set back many decades in development. Far from the democratization we were promised, Iraq has been turned into a hell on earth. Due to the U.S. use of depleted uranium and other chemical weapons like white phosphorus, Iraqis will continue to suffer from birth defects and other related illnesses for generations. How did we get there? War propaganda was essential in paving the way for the Iraq war. Americans are generally skeptical about launching new wars, so it takes a steady media bombardment about the alleged depravities of any targeted regime before public opinion begins to shift in favor of war. Because the neocons who helped launch the war have never had to face the consequences of their actions, they continue to promote war with impunity. Just this week, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, was pushing for a U.S. attack on North Korea in which millions may be killed. He said this weekend, all the damage that would come from a war would be worth it in terms of long-term stability and national security. That's just what they said before the U.S. attack Iraq. And how did that turn out? I find it disgusting that the media continues to give airtime almost exclusively to those who promote more U.S. disasters like Iraq. The Iraqi parliament did something extraordinary last week. A majority of elected Iraqi representatives voted to demand that their prime minister draw up a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from the country. President Obama had withdrawn the U.S. troops from Iraq in 2011 after a status of forces agreement could not be reached with the Iraq government. But he returned the U.S. military to Iraq under the auspices of fighting ISIS. We had no business going into Iraq in the first place, and we have no business remaining in Iraq. Al-Qaeda and ISIS emerged in Iraq because our attack and occupation of the country 15 years ago created fertile field for extremism. Nothing will be achieved if we remain. Let's listen to the Iraqis and just come home. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at ronpaulinstitute.org on my Facebook page.
To repeat the announcement.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, March 5th. This month marks the 15th anniversary of the U.S. war on...
War! We need more war!
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's a good ethical question. You know, it's like, what are the reasons for war? Okay? You know, are there good reasons for war?
Self-defense.
Right. So, yeah, there's a good reason to shoot and kill other people. And it's called self-defense. Okay? Now,
but if you do that, you'll be labeled a terrorist.
By people who are terrorizing you.
Yeah.
Criminals often call non-criminal acts criminal.
Right, because you won't let them get away with what they want to get away with.
Right. You know. So, that's why calling rape or child abuse is a real quick and easy way for a woman to get a man put away real quick.
Yep.
You know? Well, and calling a woman a slut was a quick way to get her ignored in the past. You know, so it's kind of turnabout. Can't say it's fair play because it's not really fair play in the first place. But, you know, turnabout is often called fair play. So.
Right.
Anyway. So, yeah. What was this latest war?
The latest war?
Yeah, the one that Ron Paul was just harping on here. Because, honestly, I don't keep up with current events. It's all repeats of the same.
To be honest, me neither. Basically, yeah. Supposedly, we're still fighting ISIS.
Or some other entity of the same source, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
But really,
and that's the reason why I don't pay attention to current events, because it's, It really is. It's the same shit over and over again. I'm sure back before the flood, what Cain was doing in the world is the same thing that's happening right now. And people basically just have not really learned.
Well, no. You alter history so that people don't know the truth about history. And then that way, people don't learn.
Yeah, and all you have to do is change the names.
Right. I mean, because you don't read that in the Bible. You got to look outside the Bible.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, as far as that goes, the stuff in the Bible, a lot of the the stories and stuff, the mythologies and stuff, they've identified the difference between the Greek quote unquote gods and the Roman quote unquote gods, and, you know, correlated that even with the Phoenician and the Mesopotamian and all that stuff. And they've identified that, you know, hey, this person in Greek is this person in Roman mythology. You know? So, you know, the... Shoot, I can't remember the equivalents. You know, the Roman, I forget whether Roman, if Zeus was Roman or if he was Greek. I think it was Roman. But there's equivalent in the Greek mythology. And it's the same entity, you know. And
which one was Jesus?
Well, yeah, that's just it. You know, there's equivalents in the Bible, you know. And people just don't catch on to that. You know, and you know, most refuse to catch on to it because, oh, well, that goes against what my preacher taught me.
And my preacher knows everything.
Well, yeah, my preacher wouldn't be in error on anything. He knows it all.
He's perfect.
Yeah, you got his stuff straight from God.
Yep.
Well, and he did. He got it straight from God as you got it from God. You get it straight from God, too. It's just, you know, a matter of how well are you listening.
And what God you're listening to.
Well, that's true, too. You know, what spirit are you listening to? Just because you're getting spiritual communications doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I know this is outside political, but, you know, it is political, though. There's a scripture that says, you will know them by their fruits. What's the results of their actions? Well, okay, the neocons, they're going to war. What's the reason they're going to war? What was their excuse? I don't know what their...
Oh, you know, well, their excuse is anything they can come up with, but it all...
Right, but this time around, what was their excuse?
Shoot if I know. I pay attention about as much as... This a hair more than you do. They're terrorists. Oh, well, they're destroying history.
Okay. Who are they accusing of destroying history?
ISIS.
They're accusing ISIS of destroying history. Okay. And where was ISIS doing this?
In the Middle East.
And was did ISIS come about their ownership of whatever it is they were destroying honestly, or was this, or were they destroying stolen property?
They were, you might say it's stolen property because they'd go into other people's places and destroy it.
Okay, and were the other people asking for help to stop them?
I don't know.
Okay. And were the helpers using their own materials, or were they using... my materials?
No. Probably stolen resources.
Yeah, they're probably using my stolen resources, or yours, more accurately. I mean, some of it's mine, but more of it's yours than mine, because I've put myself outside the system. So.
Right. As much as possible. I mean,
as much as possible. They still steal from me, but, you know, as much as possible, I put myself outside the system. So.
Right. You protect yourself as much as you can against their theft.
Right. And they still steal from me, but, you know, that's because it's near impossible, perfectly, you know.
Right. They've got too much power. You can't keep them from stealing from you, but you can minimize the theft as much as possible.
Hey, I still demonstrate it's possible for them to kidnap me, just like they kidnap everybody else.
Yes, I think they do. Yes, they do. Google.
Google?
I do. He wants to order pizza.
Woohoo. Hey, did you see the new Casey's pizza? They got a chicken quesadilla pizza.
Ooh. Do we have a Casey's around here?
Do we have Casey's gas station down here? I guess not. Casey's gas station.
No?
C-A-S. E-Y.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. $20 bucket.
Oh, I don't ever order any size. I just get a 10-piece chicken, and that's it.
Oh, you don't know that?
Well, we still got this pizza here, and... Oh, you ate all my pizza? Oh, it's upside down. How do you open this box? So as long as there's enough for me, I'm happy. Anyway. So.
So you don't have a Casey's.
I see the terrorist.
Yeah. And that's what it boils down to. I mean, that's. First question you got to ask. Are you doing harm? You know, and it really doesn't matter what your excuse is for why you're doing harm. The question is, are you doing harm? You know, and, you know, I think as one of the Bushes is talking about doing preemptive strikes, that was his excuse for going into other countries and doing harm. Well, yeah, I'm giving them a bloody nose before they give me a bloody nose. Well, that's the behavior of a bully, and that's a crime.
Right. That's just like the opposite of the golden rule.
Yeah.
You know, people's philosophy is do unto others before they do unto you. Well, if you do unto others before they do unto you, you're going to promote them to do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah. the golden rule ultimately applies all the time, regardless of whether you're trying to apply it or not. You know, so whatever you do to others, you are condoning them doing that to you. Okay? So
even though the Bible says, let God have the revenge, you're basically telling them, you know, you expect them to do that to you because you're doing it to them.
Right. And
the reason they're doing it to you is because they expect you to do it to them. So they're doing it to you first because they fear that you're going to do it to them.
Oh,
yep.
I'm doing my political podcast.
Okay. No problem. In a minute, as I'm done my podcast.
Okay.
In a minute, when you get done with your podcast.
You're interrupting my podcast. All right. Oh, they're talking about Bush.
Hell yeah.
Well, we mentioned him because he is doing the preemptive strike crap. You know, so, I mean, basically, what's your excuse for your war? All right? And if you got a good excuse, then your war might be justified. All right? So yeah, ask the golden rule thing. Do you want other people doing this to you? When you treat people badly, do you want them to protect themselves? Well, you know, ultimately, yeah, you do. You want them to bring you in check when you misbehave. You know?
That's what I'm going to do. He's watching, I'm listening to the propaganda on TV.
How dare you call it propaganda? It's news. There's laws against fake news. I mean, actually, I think there's laws against real news.
Yeah. Pretty much. I'm having refried pizza.
Huh?
I'm having refried pizza.
Deep fried pizza.
Refried, like, you know, like refried beans, but it's refried pizza.
Oh, I had broasted chicken the other day.
Cool.
You know what broasted is?
Broast?
Broasted chicken. You know what it is, a broast chicken? Yeah, I hadn't either. Basically, they put the oil in a pressure cooker and then cook your chicken in that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm wondering how explosive that might be. If that blows up, does that guarantee your whole house burns down?
Maybe.
Pressurized oil sprayed all over the place. Yeah, I you know. Oh my. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, ask the golden rule every time, you know, and ask, you know, who is harmed? Who's being harmed? And they'll tell you whether it's a law or not.
Right.
If nobody's being harmed, then it's not a law. It might be a rule or a regulation, but it's not a law. And there's no lawful basis. You know, behind the action they're taking. So, you know, you run a stop sign. All right? And they issue a ticket based on you running a stop sign. Well, who was harmed? If nobody was harmed, then basically it boils down to they're harming you.
Right.
Okay. So you're the victim, and since you're being harmed, they're the criminal. You know, so that police officer gives you a ticket and eats up your time, they're the ones committing a crime, not you. Now, if you run a stop sign and you hit somebody, then more than likely you're the criminal because you've harmed somebody. You know, you were given due notice that it's dangerous to just drive through that intersection.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they put the stop sign up there, is to give you due notice. It's like, don't just go flying through here. It's dangerous. All right. But you know, it's 3 a.m. in the morning, nobody's coming, and you drive through that stop sign, and the police officer chases you down and gives you a ticket anyway. Well, he's a thug. He's a highwayman. He's a robber. And he's actually a gang member. He's committing a crime. And it's organized crime at that. Because the judge will agree with him. And they'll take extortion out of you.
Well, here in Oklahoma, they'll suspend your license if it's in the school zone.
There you go. You know.
Well, not your license. They'll suspend their license.
Yeah, they'll suspend the permission that they gave you to drive. Which is another thing. You have a right to travel.
You really don't need it.
Yeah, and you don't really need their permission. Granted, you need their permission if you don't want to be harassed by them.
Right.
You know, but that harassment is a crime.
Yep.
So, you know, when they're harassing you, you're not the criminal. They're the criminal. You know, you got to go back to who was harmed. And as far as that goes, if you ran a stop sign and you hit somebody else, even then you might not be a criminal. You're at fault, but okay, so you hit somebody else. Did you make good on the damages? You know, are you in the process of making good on the damages done? Okay. And if the police officer in the state steps in and interferes and prevents you from doing that directly, you know, with the person that you harmed, then again, they're a criminal. You know, it's... How do I put it? They're preventing you from, and they're preventing you from fulfilling your due diligence. Which would be a criminal act on their part.
Twenty minutes.
Yeah, I just ordered more pizza, so I gotta go pick it up in 20 minutes.
So that puts the deadline on the podcast. Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know if people can tell, but I'm very opinionated on this crime thing. You know, so that goes back to the war thing. All right. So, you know, when's a war justified and when's a war a crime? Well, the war is justified on the defender's part.
Okay. Right.
Now, it's possible to be the defender and commit crime, which makes the other side a defender. All right.
How's
so,
that?
You know, both sides could be committing crimes. Okay. And it's really hard to sort it out. Okay. Because usually people commit crimes on both sides. All right. You know, two kids in the play yard, one initiates the fight, but the other tries to get even. And often the getting even involves a criminal act. You know, the one who started it committed a crime, but the one who's trying to get even, he often commits a crime in the process.
Right, because he's trying to punish the first one greater than the original act.
Right, yeah. Well, there's a scripture that says, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. All right. A lot of people go, well, gee, that would just escalate into greater violence. Well, actually, no, because that scripture isn't saying, hey, if he takes a tooth, you got to go take his tooth. That's not what it's saying. It's saying the most you can take is a tooth. Anything more is not justice.
Right. You know how to spell justice, right?
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. I know how criminals spell justice.
Just us.
Would that be the lawful spelling or the criminal spelling?
That'd be the criminal spelling.
Yeah.
But that's just like I understand.
The criminal definition or the lawful definition?
The unlawful definition.
You know, next time I am forced to be in a courtroom against my will, I may well, when the judge asks me if I understand, I may well ask him, well, the lawful definition or the criminal definition? And if he looks at me, well, you better get a lawyer for that. It's like, well, you're the one asking me if I understand. Are you asking me the definition that you thugs use, or are you asking me the lawful definition? I'm going to hold you in contempt of court.
You mean contempt of kangaroo court?
Are you claiming that this is a lawful court? You know. Which more than likely it isn't. You know. I mean, they should never have you in the court unless a, oh God, I forget what it's called. Basically, a group of quote unquote citizens should review the case first before they set the court date. And
right. That's
never done. Because most things would not even get to court unless that was, you know, if that was done, most things wouldn't even get to court. Most people look at it and say, you know, after they've gotten in trouble a few times for putting people through court who should never have been through court, they would stop putting people through court. Because they, you know, darn it, I forget what they're called. Grand jury. Everything needs to go through a grand jury before it even goes to court to determine if a crime was even committed. And most things nowadays do not go through a grand jury at all, ever. Mainly because most people don't know that. If it didn't go through a grand jury, you were railroaded. No ifs, ands, or buts on that. You know, if they're asking you to go through a plea deal, you know, save time and money and, you know, reduce the amount of trouble you might be going through, it's like, well, rest assured, they don't have anything against you.
True.
So, they might still railroad you, but they basically don't have anything unless, you know, they're not going to plea bargain if they have something.
Oh, no. Yeah,
they're not.
Whoever decides they want to do a plea bargain is the guilty party.
Pretty much. Well,
unless your lawyer scares you into doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a lawyer when my wife was taking me through court, and I thought I had to have one because, you know, I found out later, a man completely ignorant of the court systems does 90% better than the man who takes a lawyer with him.
Oh, yeah.
an ignorant, uneducated man going through the courts by himself does 90% better than an educated man who uses a lawyer.
But the problem with that is now a lot of the courts are forcing you to have a lawyer. It's like when I went to child support court the last time, they asked me if I had a lawyer. I said, no, I don't need one. I have all the evidence right here. I have all
and they railroaded you anyway. Yeah, and they railroaded you anyway.
Yeah, he said he didn't even look at it. He didn't even attempt to look at my stuff. He just said, you need to get a lawyer or you're going to prison.
Yep, and that judge should have been sued. Should have taken him through the court. Should have had him disbarred. Should have bar grieved him. You know, but people don't know that. They don't know the process. I don't even know how to go about bar grieving somebody, but I do know that you should bar grieve anybody who breaks basic law. Should be bar grieved
right
on the spot. Judge, lawyers, prosecutors. If you're forced to hire a lawyer, one of the first things you should do is bar grieve him, because you're being forced to take his services against your will.
Right.
It's like, fine, give me a court-appointed lawyer, and I'm going to bar grieve you and him and the prosecutor, because, you know, you're forcing me to do this crap. And no, it's not a threat, because I am going to bar grieve you regardless of whether you pull away from that or not, because you've already put that threat out. You already gave that unlawful order.
And for doing it to me, you've done it to others.
Yeah. Well, okay, the last time I was in court, there's this gentleman, Robert Arthur Menard. All right, and he has this theory, and I'm not sure how valid it is, but I decided to test it. And his theory is this: when you go into the restaurant and you give an order for your meal, the waitress presents you with a bill after she's, you know, filled your order. But there's a reasonable expectation you're going to pay the bill when you place the order. Okay. Well, the courts have been giving out orders without paying bills because nobody's bothered to bill them. So I knew one thing. I knew that even if they forced me to comply, they could not ever get my consent without me giving it. All right.
Right.
You see the subtlety there, right? They might be able to get me to do the thing, but they could never get me to consent unless I consented. Okay?
Right.
All right. So I could withhold my consent no matter what they ordered. So with the theory that every order generates a bill that should be paid, when the last judge I stood before gave me orders, I asked him flat out, are you going to compensate me for fulfilling your orders? What? Are you going to pay my bill that I'm going to submit to you to fulfill those orders? You know, I'd already worked out, if he ordered me to pay a certain amount of money, I was going to tack on 100% of that cost on the bill. Because, you know, I don't know, you know, income tax takes out 50% of what you earn, so I'd have to earn twice that in order to be able to afford to pay that, at least. And I figured I might get some profit out of it. plus travel cost and all that. I added all that in with a buffer to make sure that it would be covered because, you know, sometimes there's emergencies and things cost more. All right. And so, you know, I'd already worked out in my mind how much that would cost. Well, it never got to that point. He just frankly said, of course I'm not going to pay you to fulfill my orders. You're just going to fulfill them. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I can't consent to that. And at one point he asked me if I wanted to be held in contempt of court. And I had to hold back a laugh, but my response is, I'm sorry, I cannot consent to that either. Yeah. Yeah. You can understand why I was holding back a laugh. You know? Right. I wasn't consenting to any of his orders. So. Oh, he was red in the face. And ultimately, you know, after about an hour of that, he let me out of there. And it's no wonder that my ex's attorney quit. After I fired my attorney for culpable inefficiency and extortion. She quit. My ex's attorney quit. Didn't want to work for her. Didn't want to deal with me. So. I. Oh my. I don't know.
Oh my. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know for sure what I did right, but obviously I did some things right. I'm sure I did a lot of things wrong, but, you know, basically being a nonconformist was part of the right thing to do. You know.
Right, and they ultimately just nullified.
Yeah, I was too much of a hassle. I was too much of a pain in the butt. I mean, now, if everybody was a pain in the butt, they would have defenses in to deal with that. And
maybe.
So just being a pain in the butt wouldn't be sufficient anymore. Okay?
Sure.
You know, basically, my answer was be a bigger pain in the butt than some other pain in the butt. You know, and that really isn't a good enough answer. But right now, it works because there's not enough. Most people are too compliant.
You're right.
You know, so because we have a bunch of lackadaisical compliant assholes out there who basically are creating the very system that's wrong because they're not fighting against it in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they're not even passively rejecting it. You know, I passively... Yeah, I did. I know. Well, you know, you got a lot to lose. You got a lot to lose. I understand. And people go in the court and they've got a lot to lose. It's a little hard to resist the system when you've got so much to lose. So. I understand that. You know, the path I'm taking? Well, you know, I put down on my profile that I'm a modern pioneer. I'm going places where other people are afraid to go.
Yeah, right. I'm full now.
You're full of it.
Yeah, that too. All right. Time to go pick up some pizza.
All right. Well, you better close out this podcast then.
Yeah, we still got 5 minutes.
Okay.
To close out the podcast.
Yeah.
So
where can people find out more about us?
scrap.us.
All right. And is my contact information up there, or do I need to repeat it here?
Somewhat, yeah. I'm still working out the details, but the disclaimers and everything's pretty much just copy and paste from the DD&D.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Podcast. I haven't gone in and edited it yet. In fact, I think it even still says DD&D disclaimer instead of disclaimer.
Right. How evil.
But the host of the podcast is DD&D.
So, the podcast host is DD&D?
Yeah, whenever I upload it, upload the podcast, and it says the host, or whatever it says, the person who uploaded it, says DD&D.
Interesting.
So, where on the DD&D podcast, it says Kino's the host.
Right. Oh, you're taking all the glory and leaving me out?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know the word for it.
No, I just that never changed it.
Well, if you want to avoid identity theft, the best way to avoid identity theft is to not have an identity in the first place.
Yeah.
And that would be me.
Basically, that's basically my sign-in name. So I created you a sign-in name, and I created myself a sign-in name.
And since I never sign in.
Well, I'm the one who signs in and uploads the podcast, and therefore it says that I'm the host.
Oh, boy.
But if you was to sign in with your ID and upload something, then it would say you were the host.
I do need to do that. There's some things I need to be reading in. Some audio books, basically.
Right.
I need to be reading that in. And
like man or other animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Steal that directly off of somebody else's webpage and read it.
I'm sure he won't mind.
I should actually call him and get permission to do so.
Well, yeah, you can do that too.
And,
yeah, it's not illegal or unlawful to use other people's stuff. Technically, if you give
as
them
long as
credit.
You give them credit, and especially if you get their permission.
Yeah.
And that's important. You know, somebody puts some effort into something, you should make an effort to get their permission. You know, now if you can't get their permission because you can't reach them or they're dead, you know,
right.
that's another issue.
That's another issue. So, yeah, find more information at scrapgov, scrap.us, or dementeddungeonsanddragons.com.
Woohoo.
Where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons & Dragons, where this podcast is more of a 3%er podcast.
A what?
A 3%er.
Yeah, I know. Define it. You brought up the term.
The 3%ers are the freedom fighters based on the fact that there was approximately 3% of Americans who freed us the first time. So we call ourselves 3%ers.
That is assuming you believe that freed us myth.
True. Well, you know, you get out of one trap and you fall into another.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Pretty much.
And it was that way by design. Because good old George Washington, well, some of my research shows that ultimately he was funded by the very king that we broke away from. You know. Well, you know, our current enemies, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and, you know, those are all government-funded entities funded by our government so that we can defend ourselves against them. All right, good night, folks. I think I lost the other host, and we've already closed out.
I'm back. All right, I guess David closed it out. I'm going to finish closing it out. Basically, yeah, call us Monday. Thinking about changing to Sunday. Right now, it's Monday at 5 p.m. And it's just a political podcast. Where we talk about freedom, liberty, politics, and all that nonsense. So, yeah. scrapgovscrap.us. And then our other podcast is DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Again, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons & Dragons. We've had that one for a couple years now. And we talk about freedom and liberty a lot on that other podcast. And so I thought, because, you know, Lenny Ladner, blah, 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 I thought, you know, we'll start our own liberty podcast, if you will. And Lenny owns .com, scrapgovscrap.com. But he's not computer literate and doesn't know how to change the IP address so that I can host the .com. And so I just went ahead and bought the .us to save trouble, you know, stress, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And here we are. So if you want to check out Lenny's website, go to scrap.com.
And you'll get some more information there. Basically, the idea that spawned this here, well, between Demented Dungeons and Dragons and Lenny, ScrapGoScrap.com, we now have ScrapGoScrap podcast at ScrapGoScrap.us. Just remember, if it increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government, scrap it. Get rid of it. We don't want it. All right, party on, bye.